I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage a comedian that's doing so well, she's having to do her own intro from behind a concrete bollard at her own event. It's Alexandra Hanna! Hi everyone, welcome to Promising Dumb Women! I've even got notes and a clipboard that's branded so you know it's official. So I just want to say thank you all so much for coming. We thought this would be maybe the three of us and Caroline's dog. So it's really nice to see all of you here. And I just want to say that looking out at all of you, I can see that you are all so, so dumb. So thanks. It's just great that you managed to find your way here. But obviously there's also a bar here, so that makes more sense. And also I can see quite a few penis owners in the room. So I want to give a round of applause for all the dumb men that came here tonight. Or as they're now known, men. Get a new PR, guys. Just so in case you don't know, I'm Alex. I'm the one that goes on about being single, Jeremy Corbyn, and recycling plastic on the show. Those are my three main selling points. This is a collaboration between our podcast, The School for Dumb Women. Give me a cheer if you've listened to the podcast before. Give me a cheer if you haven't. It's fine if you haven't. Yeah, cool. Thank you, newbies. So just so you know, School for Dumb Women is a podcast that came about where we worked for an unnamed women's media outlet and we were sick of seeing events for like smart women, like a panel for smart women. It's Smart Women's Week. And then Hannah said to me like, what about all the dumb women? And we were like, yeah, let's make something for all the thick people, you know? So thank you guys for coming along. And in the podcast, we each pick a subject, usually something that you're too proud to admit that you know nothing about, and we explain it to the other two. I would say factually, but facts are very much at the bottom rung of what we aim for in the podcast. Guys, it's very inaccurate. So don't come here if you're willing to learn anything. And it's also a collaboration between Caroline's new debut book. Yeah! Called Promising Young Women. And then we're called the School for Dumb Women. So tonight it's called Promising Dumb Women. Yeah! That is a tongue twister after you've had four of those cocktails. It's actually really good. It's already been getting great reviews. So good that we have it on good authority that Margaret Atwood is in a jealous rage. So we've had to up the security tonight in case she attacks Caroline. If you see her, please alert security. I'm as a stand-up on the London circuit, guys, that's the only time I'm ever going to be able to use Margaret Atwood as a punchline. So just let me have it. Oh, by the way, it's also our first birthday. So many notices. Don't trust me to do this again. A few house rules that I have to go through. I have to sort of change the tone because we have to do these rules. Number one, if you see anyone, and I mean this, if you see anyone tonight thinking or being serious or saying the word problematic, you need to report them to bar staff immediately and they will be escorted from the premises because tonight is all about getting you guys drunk enough to buy one of Caroline's books. So I'm going to introduce two women who I sit in a very farty studio with every 2 weeks. It's producer extraordinaire and reincarnation of Queen Victoria, Hannah Varrell! Give her a round of applause! And right writer, dog owner, Irish person and human woman, and now novelist, Caroline O'Donoghue! Yay! I don't know what happens next, I'm just gonna... Where do I sit? Oh, and this is the actual typewriter that Caroline wrote her book on. We've actually brought it
in. Very true, yeah.
It's going to be in the British Museum very soon, so that's exciting as well. Hannah's got some pretty high-tech intro gadget, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Let's just see if it works. Can everyone hear that?
Put it closer.
Okay.
Closer.
And welcome to episode 50 of the School for Dumb Women, which also happens to be our first ever live episode. Woo! I'm your host woman, feels morally conflicted about picturing the audience naked in a post-Me Too society. Hannah Val, that was good.
First mishap, but it's like the EastEnders Christmas Live episode.
Too many things. With me is so show business she had booked a gig directly after this one, actual professional comedian Alexandra Haddo.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, there's no business like show business, Hannah, because it's the only one that lets me have rage fits. And also I've cancelled that gig to come and get pissed with everybody afterwards, so cheers.
Also with me is... Good start. Also with me is inappropriately using the disabled toilet, nervous poor Caroline O'Donoghue.
Thank you, everyone. My poos this week have been like the critical reception of my book, which is mixed.
It's funny because it's true.
Now, Caroline, I don't want to spook what must already be a very haunted digestive system, but you have a reason to be nervously pooing more than normal. Is that right?
Don't look at me.
So, debut novel, Promising Young Woman, has been out for 2 weeks. And in celebration, today's podcast is themed around it.
Ooh, it's almost like we planned it that way.
And weirdly, as Alex said before, the book is available in this actual bookshop. So...
Corporate synergy, everyone. Corporate synergy.
Not only that, as Alex said too, today is also our first official birthday party.
Yay!
We're
one today, so if we shit ourselves later, that is why. That's our excuse.
And to celebrate, we are going to be giving out prizes throughout the show to the biggest dummies.
We really hope nobody is smart in here, otherwise we're fucked.
Yeah. So, intro. In today's episode, we're going to be learning about birthdays, urban legends, and agony aunts. And we'll have a trend report from Lucy Vine.
Here she is, in the flesh.
We did call that segment On the Vine with Lucy Vine, but it hasn't kind of taken off, really.
No. So it's just the trend report with Lucy Vine.
Yeah.
Known for her beautiful book, What Fresh Hell, and also her bridesmaid's hair. This woman wakes up with bridesmaid hair.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's amazing. Just natural ringlets that flow down. Look at her!
I'm going to scalp you later.
I think that's probably enough intro-ing, right?
Yeah, that's so much. Okay. That's three intros. Okay. We're fine. We're good.
I would do the jingle, but like we all saw how that went down earlier.
Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe let's just leave that.
So you're going to do your segment first, Hannah, and I don't know what your segment is, but today you are visiting me once a year and you're making me feel ever closer to death. Are you my paramedic younger sister?
I really hope I'm not your paramedic younger sister because I am not medically trained in the slightest.
Neither is she. Joking, she studied really hard for years and makes me feel inadequate every time I go home. Cool, carry on.
Yes. So my segment this week is on birthdays, and that's not only because the School for Dumb Women turned one last week, as I said, it's also because, Caroline, your book starts with a birthday.
Weird.
Okay, this is really rude of me. Can you remember the opening sentence of your book?
Yes, because the opening sentence of any book is the most rewritten sentence of anything you'll ever write in your entire life. So it's, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. No, it's when the company grew to over 200 people, each with their own birthday cake, they started to downsize. When I turned 25, I got a whole carrot cake, now I am 26 and I have a cupcake.
That is like 80% right.
That deserves a round of applause, that is really good. I mean, you did write it, but still. Yeah.
I think The Office Birthday is actually a really good opener because it strikes such a chord with people. Like, The Office Birthday is the most dreaded event probably of the whole year.
Awful.
And it is, yeah, it is categorically the worst type of birthday. And there's a great scene because they sing happy birthday to her when she comes in. She gets the cupcake. They sing happy birthday to her. And then Clem, who appears later in the book, sings, and she's a jolly good fellow. What? Breaking the rules.
Office birthdays. What cake do you have in an office birthday?
Colin the caterpillar.
Why? Who sponsored that? Yeah. How did M&S corner that market?
No, it's the exact form of like the sort of acceptable corporate quirkiness that is allowed. It's like M&S have sponsored corporate quirkiness. It's like, it's not just your birthday, it's also a caterpillar. And if you're very good, you get to eat the face or the arse.
Yeah.
Or you get some birthday, Percy Pigs thrown in as well, and you have to be like, oh, there's a bowl of Percy Pigs, cool.
Yeah, and some crisps.
Fine.
We're all having fun here, we're all friends.
Yeah. Also, usually someone that's getting all the food and the cake, like the intern or some assistant, has to like walk in blatantly with the bags in full view of the person whose birthday it is, and the person has to be like, oh, what could be happening? Even though there's been like three birthdays that week, and you're like, please, please, no more cake. I want to die.
Yeah. Also, I think there's never more eye contact within an office as when the person who's got the cake has got to get someone else to start singing with them. So they're like,
yeah, like, come on, do it quickly.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, and there's never any matches as well. You have to run out and get...
No matches,
no one smokes
no.
anymore, so it costs £3 to go down the corner shop. It's ridiculous.
And it's keeping the candle alight while you're doing the walk, so it's like, happy. And I'm trying not to like blow out the candle while you're singing at the candle.
What was your favourite birthday, guys?
Oh, I don't know my favourite, but my most memorable was when I threw a 21st. Didn't tell my parents, and then my dad had to leave in the middle of the night. Stayed in a friend's house, and his friend thought that he was leaving my mum. And he was like, oh, Peter, what's wrong? Like, I've never seen you past 8 p.m. ever. And he's just like, daughter's birthday party. And you're like, right, okay, you're leaving your wife. And now they're divorced. Because my father hates an awkward conversation. No, they're very much together. But yeah, that was quite a doozy.
Yeah, nice. My favourite birthday was when I turned 6 and we rented the function room at Brentford Leisure Centre.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
Brentford are in.
I wore my pink Minnie Mouse t-shirt, and my cousin, who was 12, cool age, turned up. With my aunt, because, you know, that's how it works.
Yeah, 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 because you're a gangster, yeah.
Thought that was pretty cool. What's your favourite birthday?
Oh, my favourite birthday... Well, I was going to say my 30th, actually, but on my 21st, I rented out a really nice cocktail bar, and then I gave a speech, and I was very drunk. And then what I did, Hannah, was I flashed my boobs to everyone in the cocktail bar in a really nice cocktail dress, and that is a true fact. And my friend described it as an old lady running onto a football pitch and streaking. That was the reaction of everyone at the party. That's a true fact. So some people in the audience were there. They've just got over their PTSD and they've decided to come tonight. Sorry to them.
The other thing that's weird about birthdays, like, it's just a weird idea, right? Like, a lot of stuff on this podcast, we're like, hey, that's a weird idea. Birthdays is one of them, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, it's very mathematical. It's very kind of like, okay, on this day, you are older. Like, I think we should be able to choose when our birthdays are and be
Yeah, when you're ready.
And be like, yeah, I could turn 30 now. Yeah. I've got, you know, I bought a rug, so.
I bought a rug recently and I turned 30 2 months ago. So I'm at that stage.
Well, you were ready.
I'm still a mess, don't worry.
That's good to know.
By the way, I just love how there's people still browsing books while I'm talking about flashing my tits on my 21st birthday. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, cool. Like, maybe Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky? He's a composer. Tolstoy. I'm dumb, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, cool thing happens in Korea as well. This is a fact, everyone. We've got one of those tonight.
Who's got the fact gong that goes off once an episode?
We did have a bell of academic clarity back at the beginning, but...
that left.
Yeah, it just walked out, like, angrily. In Korea, you turn one as soon as you're born. Oh, in Korea, you turn one as soon as you're born, because it still counts to, like, the time spent in the womb. Which
what?
Is quite strange, yeah. And then everyone...
Is that like, so your first birthday is actually your parents having sex?
Yeah. And then you turn a year older. Like, everyone turns a year older at the same time at the start of the new year.
Yeah. So everybody's birthday is on...
Everyone's birthday is the same day.
Yeah, the same day.
And who gets the head of the column?
I don't know.
Do they split up the head of the column?
I have no idea how that works out. But
that
it's kinda,
is so Korea.
Kind of makes sense, right? And it's like, it also kind of happens a bit in China, Japan, Vietnam. It's kind of an Asian thing. It's an East Asian thing. And yeah, it kind of makes sense. It's quite a like collective thing to do, isn't it? It'd be like, you don't get a birthday of your own. We all have a birthday.
It's very communist.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I bet Jeremy Corbyn has the Labour Party have their birthday on all on the same day. You'll get one Colin and some jam from my allotment and that will be it.
Sorry, I think we're 6.5 minutes into this podcast and the Corbyn gong has rung.
Already.
Hold tight for plastic.
Here's another birthday fact. The chance of sharing a birthday with someone in the room. Okay, so how many people were in this room? Like
70?
Maybe? It's quite a lot of you.
87?
87 people in this room.
Whoa.
That's not the browsers.
They're counting. Look, there's one coming in right now. It's 88. He's gone. He's gone back.
Down again to 87. Fine.
Yeah.
You only need to have 23 people in one room for there to be a 50-50 chance of two people sharing the same birthday.
Are we going to have a birthday off?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, hands up.
Oh, there's two already. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
I know exactly who it is. And... one's called Ella and the other called Ellie and they have the exact same birthday.
Are they just the same person?
And that's freaky as hell. They are indeed. Yeah.
Well, you know, my best friend, my housemate and my other friend all have the same exact birthday as well.
Are you sure that's just their way of escaping you?
Yeah.
We're doing a small private thing for our birthday this year, Alex. You wouldn't like it. It's for
Please.
June 27th yeah. only.
It's a very expensive week for me. Dinners alone.
Yeah, I always like, it doesn't really happen anymore, but I remember in school when you shared a birthday with someone, you'd sort of be like, yeah.
All right, yeah.
All right, you're a year older than me, but like, yeah. We share a birthday, yeah.
I share a birthday with International Women's Day and Barbie.
That's nice.
Oh, birthday twin! And you! March the 8th! Guys, three of us, we've won.
Nice one.
The School for Dumb Women has a podcast, shares a birthday with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yes. Amazing.
That's really exciting.
We're the third twin.
Yeah.
Oh.
We totally are.
With the same success.
I want the audience to guess what the most common birthday date is.
What, in the world?
Any guesses? Like, out of the year, yeah.
Oh, no,
show of hands.
We've got a show of hands.
There's
a very confident show of hands.
Hello, sir.
26th of September.
My God! Round of applause. That is
give
amazing.
That man a prize. Rosie, can you have a prize?
Yeah, I don't know where they
are. Okay, the prize is somewhere.
They will collect your prize at the end because we don't know where they are. Yes, you get one.
Yes,
everyone gets one.
Everyone
if you're
gets
born.
A toad.
Can I just ask when's your birthday?
The 16th of March.
I thought you were going to be like yeah because. I'm born on that day and my parents had sex at Christmas. No, who has sex on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
It's the least sexy day
Wouldn't it
on
be
Earth.
Like Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Boxing Day.
Yeah. It's like I've let out my trousers three times today. Come and get me.
Yeah.
Also, you're just there with like your relatives.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. For the guests of the 25th of September.
Ooh, tote bag.
You win.
Yes, those are custom printed tote bags. Someone off Twitter made them for us.
More totes to be won later, guys. Our podcast star sign is Gemini, which I think is really beautiful.
Also, it means there's like twins, so who's the one left out? I feel like it's me.
Yeah, there you go.
The Olsen twins!
Yeah.
Exactly, they're Gemini, it all works out.
So true.
Twins on twins on twins.
A Gemini's strength is knowledge, which makes sense, I think. Yeah. And our weakness is unrealistic expectations, which like I think is ridiculous because, you know, the next 100 people are going to be turning up in any
Exactly. So like make some room. Yeah. So that's fine.
I think Dumb Women Empire would do fine.
Yes, Empire being this lovely room of ladies in a bookshop.
Yeah.
But the best Empire. is that your segment?
Normally I just cut it there.
Thank you so much.
What could this mean?
What is
There's
this?
Some room temperature
room
white
temperature
wine here.
Wine in a plastic glass. That must mean it's time for the real life Women Who Code Mixer. The next section.
Yeah.
Can we say, yeah. Thank you, Harry Harris, who wasn't here tonight for doing that jingle.
Yeah, Harry Harris moved to Scotland, basically preventing him from ever doing any more jingles for us. So now when we have a new segment and we're like, and it's Lucy Vine. No jingle. And I said, this really is room temperature white wine. The women who code mixer.
I'm really trouncing through these cocktails as well, so let's hurry this up before I'm incoherent.
If you're not familiar with the Women Who Code Mixer, this is the part of the show where we feign interest in something coding or tech related in the hopes that one day we'll wake up in the morning and be able to code.
Yay!
Great. So since we have a live audience this week, we've decided to really kind of distill what a Women Who Code Mixer means down to its most significant part.
Oh, okay, like future-proofing our careers.
No, it's the most important part of any career-enhancing mixer, as I think we all should know, is sitting around in a circle and telling everyone a kooky fact about yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. That's the only reason I go to any event, yeah.
Yeah, there's not probably room for us to do a big circle here, which is why we've been collecting your dumb facts.
Yeah.
Where's the bin?
We're going to pick one each. This is the symptomatic of the podcast that the that they all went into a bin.
The best dumb facts are going to win a tote bag, basically. So I hope they've been good. And there is no chance we're getting through all of them. So, Alex, do you want to start?
This person's written three, so they're very dumb. They've said. Number one, I thought Torquay was in Spain because it sounds Spanish.
I thought that too.
Did you?
Yes. Same with Swansea. Swansea sounds really glamorous if you separate it from Wales for a minute in your head.
You mean Swansea. If you take away all the characteristics of Swansea, yeah. Number two, I've broken my wrist and elbow trying to do a scissor kick to I've had the time of my life. And number three, I bit into a stink bomb because I thought it was a fizzy cola bottle.
No. Who is this person? Show yourself immediately.
She's written her name. It's Rachel Fowler.
Rachel Fowler, you foul bitch.
You get a free tote, Rachel Fowler.
We have to see if the other facts have won first.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
Rachel Fowler's already won.
That's pretty great.
Oh, well, don't take it away from her because that's cruel.
That's fine. Okay, this fact is, why aren't there any men, husbands, fathers, on the race for breast cancer bad? Unless I've read that wrong.
Bad. Oh, as in
aren't there any fathers and brothers on the race for breast cancer?
That's a very good point. Bad. I just like the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it should be. Yeah. Feminism.
Yeah.
Into it. Hannah, this is one straight from your own heart. I always imagine dry cleaning being like dry shampoo. ... Is it not? Like, not even sure if that's a dumb thought. Being like, half sure this is an okay thing to think. Am I wrong?
I think that's quite a clever analogy. I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, so I did a segment on dry cleaning a few months ago.
You glamorous bitch.
Yeah. But it was kind of all about how, American sitcoms have made us think that when we grow up, we're going to be dry cleaning all the time. And there's going to be, meat cutes in the dry cleaners. And I've not dry cleaned anything ever. So we've been lied to.
45% of Friends was just them getting their dry cleaning, I feel. Or what was that? The Ross had an affair with someone from the printers
Xerox girl.
The Xerox girl.
Yeah.
Who would that girl be in modern society?
Yeah.
An event organizer at Waterstones, perhaps.
Who could it be?
You worked so hard for tonight. Who won that?
Who won that one?
I think the person who put three facts instead of one, probably.
Yeah, that was Rachel, who I don't know in real life, but I do really.
Well done, everyone. You've all participated in... You're now a Woman Who Code now.
Yeah.
Learned how to code.
Yeah, exactly.
You coded your way into our hearts.
You can definitely get a 10 grand pay rise by saying a dumb fact in front of a panel. it's my topic now.
Yeah.
Seamless.
Seamless.
So seamless. Who wants to intro me? Because it's you on the script.
You're not looking at the script.
Alex. I've completely forgotten what your segment is because of pre-show nerves. What's your fucking segment?
It's from your book, which I've also forgotten to bring up.
Alex, I heard you did a poo in a bag.
There we go.
and left it on the last person you slept with's head or something.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. No, it's not, because it's an urban legend. And I was supposed to... Well, do you know what? Actually, I've memorised the page, so I can read you the segment out in Caroline's book. There's a little bit where she talks about an urban legend in the book, and I'll read you out a very small paragraph, because then you'll be like, whoa, I really want to read that book. What is it? And
but I'll
be like,
wow, it's literally the point of this event. The poo in the bag, right? Everyone knows the poo in the bag urban legend.
Yeah, exactly. Here
half of you are nodding. The men are not nodding, which means this is a female-specific legend.
Okay, so Jane Peters, the main character in Caroline's book, I'm just going to read you one paragraph. She's sleeping with an older man, and she says, I shrug. He starts slotting bread into the toaster. Oh. I answer his question silently to myself, because even though I love being with you, I can't sleep when you're there, because the idea of being unconscious next to you unnerves me, because sharing a bed with you reminds me of a story I once heard about a woman who bought a snake, and when that snake started stretching out its long, limbless body next to her, it never occurred to her once that it might be thinking about eating her. Has everyone heard this urban legend?
Yeah. It's the best one.
Yeah.
Best of all the legends.
So basically what I've done is doing a quick sweep on actual snakes, which are disgusting. And then I'm going to talk about urban legends, which are very interesting. I've done something like really original, guys, for this live event, in which I've Wikipedia'd snakes and I've sort of picked out the highlights. So random, right? I never do that for every single episode we ever do. So snakes are basically really disgusting. Like, none of their body works in any of the ways that it should. They only have one of each organ, like they have one lung. And their heart can move around their body so they can accommodate eating big things.
Oh.
They're really disgusting. And also their eyelids are transparent and they remain permanently closed. So, like, even if they're asleep, they've got their eyes open.
So the eyelids are just like an extra kind of shield that does nothing.
Yeah, it's horrible. Mm. They also molt, so like they shed their skin, and that's to, like, I don't know, keep them looking young.
No,
whatever.
It's okay. We all do that. That's all right.
Yeah, we all do
that. Yeah, it's like Andy McDowell and Oil of Olay adverts. She just sheds her skin.
She's like, I just like, amazing when I shed my entire body.
Yeah. And then you spend £15 on a moisturiser.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. And also, they used to have legs, but they evolved not to have legs. And they evolved from like sea creatures that was like slithering through rocks. They're really disgusting. That's all I'm going to talk about. Actual snakes. What a seamless segment. And into the interesting part, which is urban legends. Now, look, I did a call out on Twitter this week, like, what's your favourite urban legend? It was poo in the bag. If anybody doesn't know this, it's an urban legend about a girl who goes on a date with a guy that she's fancied for ages, and then she goes back to his, and she sleeps with him. And in the morning, she's like, oh, I need to do a poo. And then she goes for a poo, but then she can't flush the poo. And then she's like, oh my God, I can't let this man see that I'm a normal human that poos, which we could all relate to. And then she gets the poo out of the toilet in a plastic bag, and she puts it in a plastic bag. And then she's like, look, do you know what? I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to take the bag. I'm just going to leave. Then I can text him like a sexy message, like, last night was amazing. And then she, his door is one of those ones that you open from the inside and then you lock from the outside. And when she leaves the house, she realises that she's left the poo in the bag on his kitchen counter. Right?
So I heard bedside table.
Bedside table is the classic.
Sorry, bedside table. Yeah. There's a lot of variations. So everybody, the first time you hear this story, you like want to die so that you can never hear it again. And then you realise that it's an urban legend, which is essentially just a global form of Chinese whispers, right? Because it's just like a story gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
I can actually hear people comparing the story.
Because it probably started with like, she farted into a bag. Do you know what I mean? Just like... tied that up
she
and left
her fart in a jar on her bedside table.
Yeah, exactly.
Farting in a bag is such an existential question, isn't it? Like, can one actually fart in a bag? Like, if the intention to fart in the bag
is there. Well, if you don't like to look under your seats, you've all got a small bag. If you're tonight, we're going to find that out.
That's actually what's in the tote bags.
Yeah.
Two pages.
We farted in each individual one. I looked at people's favourite urban legends, and some of them were really, really funny, but one of them I didn't even realise was an urban legend. So if you want to shout out, you can shout out, but don't worry. What's like a fact that you think about spiders and sleep?
You eat like 11.
Yeah, right. So there's the fact that you eat like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 spiders throughout your life, right? And obviously loads of people are always like, well, how would you know that, right? But that's something that you've probably trotted out to somebody else throughout your life.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Was started by a professor as an example of how an urban legend can spread.
No.
What?
Yeah, it's like when these days, it's like when, you know, when they do a tweet and they're like, this is how your nudes can spread across the internet. But in the back in the day, it was just like, this is how they did it, like by word of mouth.
I'm sure
which
I've
is
seen
even
that
more
on TV on like Newsround or something.
Yeah, it's not real. It was literally started as a fake thing. Because how would you even know? Like, yeah, how would you know how many spiders a person eats? Like during their life.
Yeah, because you can't see them when they come out the other side. You wouldn't ever know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be like, oh, there's Frank.
How would you even go about collecting that data? Would you have to like extract them from cadavers? Be like, oh, so there's like a 12 or 13, so it's averaged it to 11.
Yeah.
11. Yeah, everyone's got 11 spiders. Why that many?
But spiders are digestible, so.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, you're like, yeah.
Literally no evidence, yet we all believed it immediately. As soon as you hear it, you're like, yeah, there's a specific number attached to it. I hate spiders. Therefore, I will commit this memory as fact.
Yeah, and the more you hate spiders, the more the number probably goes up. Like, did you know you swallow 56 spiders in your life? Also, I didn't realise this was an urban legend. The call is coming from inside the house. So that's actually, you know, they did it in Scream, right? Like with Drew Barrymore. That's actually an urban legend because it's like a babysitter babysitting someone and they get a call and they're like, oh, who is this? And eventually it's like the call is coming from inside the house. That's an urban legend, right? But then Scream just plagiarised it, apparently. If any of this is wrong, by the way, don't shout out now. Speak to me at the end. The best one I heard on Twitter was that, I don't think this isn't an urban legend, this is just like a conspiracy theory, which is two different, very different things. Some guy was like, oh, that Neil Buchanan from Art Attack is actually Banksy.
I love that.
Not a thing.
That has more internal logic than the spiders thing, though. Yeah, like, yeah. You can all imagine Neil doing that. You've seen what he can do with a few paper bags and some biscuits.
Yes. Neil just being like, I'm so mainstream, they'll never know. Oh my god, did everyone hear that? Neil Buchanan from Art Attack is in a heavy metal band called Madrid. Please do look him up, but not at night, because he is spray painting the walls of London. Also, another one that I got sent in was that the man... Does everyone remember the song Shakespeare's Sister, Stay? Yeah. Yeah, I was obsessed with it when I was a kid. Apparently the rumour is that the guy on the table is actually dead. That's an urban legend. Also, do you remember when everyone was like, Kel from Kenan and Kel is dead?
Yes, yeah. That was huge!
Not dead, living a happy life, so...
Yeah, and that the Kenan and Kel episodes that we were watching were actually 10 years old and they'd be dead for years.
Yeah.
Because we always got American TV so much later than America got them, so there's this assumption that everything was in the future over there somehow. Kel's been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
In this very house, on this very night.
So what's the worst urban legend you've ever heard, or have I gone through them all?
So I was saying earlier that there was an urban legend at my school that there was a couple and they were getting sexy and she decided to put some fruit pastels. Three fruit pastels.
Okay.
Up her vagina. And then he could
get
them out.
Vagina.
You have to whisper when you say vagina. So he would get them out, and he, you know, they had a lovely time.
Right.
And he sort of came up and was like, "Oh yeah, that was great. What flavour was the fourth one?" And I said that to Rosie, and she was like, "No, in my school it was wine gums."
So what's the insinuation that he like?
That he just ate some kind of like nondescript blob that was.
That is.
If anyone knows like any scientific specifics, like let
the
me
female
know.
Body is 75% amorphous blobs of things. Bits of stuff just coming out of you. Bits of things.
My housemate, who might be here tonight, told me that story, that one last night, which I'd never heard before, and said it in his school. It was Milky Way stars.
But they would melt. Come on, let's be realistic here.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the worst one I've ever heard? But it's really disgusting.
Yes.
It's really graphic.
Yes.
One person. Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you it. Okay, so we thought this was real. My best friend told me it. And she said, like, oh, my God, a friend of a friend went on this date, a second date. So she'd been on one really great date with him. I'm going to end on this, by the way, because you'll all want to go and like be sick after. So she went on a second date and he was like, do you want to come around to mine and I'll cook you some dinner? And she was like, oh, you're just going to try and sleep with me? He was like, nope, I'm really into cooking. Some people are already like recognising it. And so she went round, and he'd cooked this whole three-course meal and like drinks and everything. And he'd really prepared it, and he was like, "Look, I live with four guys, and they're all out tonight, so we've got a place to ourselves." She was like, "Oh, okay, fine." And then after the starter, she started feeling really ill. She was like, "Oh my god, I think I'm going to be ill. I need to go to the toilet." And he was like, "Sorry, I live with four guys, right? I'm just gonna run to the loo, just check it's clean and everything. I'll be 2 seconds." She was like, oh my God, something's gonna happen. So he went into the loo, locked the door. She was outside, and she was like, "Oh, like, get out. And he was like, "Hang on, I'm just cleaning it. Anyway, it happened.
Oh no, it happened.
It happened in her pants. And then she was like, "Oh my God." And he opened the door. He was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Look, please. Don't worry, like it's absolutely fine. It happens. I'm so sorry. Like, maybe you've eaten something today. Just go in the shower. I will take all of your clothes. I'll wash them now. Here's a dressing gown. Please don't be embarrassed." What a lovely guy.
Except.
She went downstairs, and he was smearing her shit-stained clothes all over her because he had a fetish for scat. And then she reported it to the police, and they were like, "This is the third incident of this kind. We found in the Balham area. Don't go on a date in Balham." But apparently,
move,
that's an urban
Balham
legend,
guys.
Has anyone else heard this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Was it Balham?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It was what? It was your friend's date.
Classic friend of a friend.
A classic, yeah. Untraceable friend of an urban legend. But I mean, thank God that's an urban legend, because if it was true, I think we'd all have to go and live in like a commune somewhere and never speak to any men again. So.
The house prices in Balham are about to go
absolutely
way down, like overnight.
I think,
like, put in your bids right now.
Yeah, it was a guy that had been sacked from Foxton's that like orchestrated the whole thing. Just like, fuck you. Yeah.
The scat attack on Balham.
Yeah, scat attack. Okay. I'm the only person to say scat attack whilst drinking a French 75.
No, you, Kate Moss, has definitely said scat attack a number of times throughout her career. She worked with Terry Richardson, so.
That is completely true.
Should we have some more dumb facts from the audience?
Yeah! Get the, where's
the
bin? Where's the bin?
Oh, the dummy's in the bin.
I've never felt more like a shit Debbie McGee. Thank you.
Oh, rustle them.
Rose is interfering, so if you don't win, then. Alex?
Okay, this one's really good. I like this one. I have never, and still don't, understand height, weight, or distance.
as a concept at all.
If you have been affected by any of the issues in tonight's show, I once walked 4 miles from a train station because I thought it would take 4 minutes. Is Usain Bolt here, or like?
That
who
is
are
the
you?
One,
yeah,
to be.
That's great.
Who's that? Ah, oh, you are a legend. You should be hosting this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
Put all your belongings in that tote in case you end up on the A14 tonight.
You got a toothbrush, yeah? Mine is, I thought Silicon Valley was called that because everyone went there for plastic surgery.
I thought that.
That's quite.
I thought that too. I genuinely thought that for years. Yeah.
I think that's quite sensible.
Yeah,
I think
that's very sensible. Very sensible, yeah.
This is one where you have to kind of fill in the gaps yourself, which is trampolining at the age of 28 with poor coordination plus weak ankles equals A&E. Sorry. Alison Price, I'm very sorry.
What happened?
So my friend decided that she wanted to go trampolining, so dragged me along, and we were there about 10 minutes before I fell awkwardly on my ankle, and a lovely lad who was 18, I found out later, told me to go to A&E after giving me an ice pack, and I had to have like an air cast boot and physio because I like fractured my ankle.
Oh my god. She fractured her ankle 10 minutes into a trampolining class that she didn't want to go to, if anyone couldn't hear that,
and then got rescued by an 18 year old boy.
Yeah. Was he attractive?
I was going to say, we haven't mentioned that you're single yet on the podcast, actually. So I'm single, in case anyone was wondering.
Just, I mention every 6 minutes on the podcast that I am single, so...
I mentioned it in your intro.
I mentioned it in my intro. Cool. And again. If anyone wants...
Should we have your section now, Caroline?
Yes, it's time for my segment, everyone. Hello.
Is it Hannah, you're looking at me.
Yeah,
like,
I'm looking at you like you got something to say.
What could it be? Yeah. okay, so and seen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Dear Caroline, I have itches where there were no itches before. Please can you help me? Regards, Itchy. 30, London.
Alex, we went over this in the Thrush episode. If you will wear your swimsuit after the pool, you keep it on all day and you sit on a radiator, you will get thrush.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not doing a wash. I'm too busy.
I'm too busy having it all. No, as some of you probably know, my book is about a woman in an office with kind of a soulless job, and the way that she sort of keeps her own self-esteem buoyed is by doing this agony aunt column online. And while I was writing the book, I had a lot of research into the world of agony aunts. It turns out they've been around for like a minute, like since 1691.
Wow.
That's ages. Considering women couldn't vote then, it seems very like peppy that we were asking them for advice.
What were they even complaining about?
Yeah. Dear Deirdre, who do I vote for? Oh, never mind. You don't know. but the weird origin story of that is there was this 32-year-old man called John Dunton. Don't know why his age is appropriate here. But he owned a sort of a suite of newspapers, and he was cheating on his wife and found he had no one to discuss it with.
It's just toxic masculinity.
That is just a problem we've all faced at some point or another in our adolescence, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this affair. If only I had someone to discuss it with. Hang on a minute. What if there was an interactive paper supplement in which I could ask an imaginary woman what to do and she could tell me? And that's exactly what he did. So yeah, he started the first ever Agony Aunt column in his paper, the Athenian Gazette in Georgia. And after that, people realized, because there was such a kind of a print boom at the time, that like you could get your readers to populate your newspaper for free. Like, if you think about it, like, wow, we could get them to write the goddamn paper with their silly problems. So that's exactly what they did. And what's really weird about the time period is that they, like, it's like pre-men ever talking to women. So like they have wives and they have sisters and they have mothers, but if they can't talk to any of those people, they're just like, what? How do I speak to these creatures of the night? They just like wallow around the place. I'll talk to an anonymous woman. So it became really, really popular as like a means for men to learn about what it is that women do, which is why agony aunts are traditionally female. Which is mad, right?
But was he being the answerer as well? He was being the woman answerer.
Yes, he had a fake female persona.
So he wasn't really interacting with any women. So.
I mean, my assumption was that he was always in drag for it, that he would just put on his rollers.
He would just write it himself and then like quickly Grace and Perry up and then just sort of like write the reply.
Just a way for himself to feel better about like, you know, Gladys says it's fine that I'm cheating on my wife.
Yeah.
So it's totally fine. So then they come into proper, real popularity in the Victorian times because there's sort of this notion of like courtly love takes over and like all these like newly middle class women, because the whole middle class is happening for the first time, they're like, I want to behave and act like I am a princess all the time. And I'm going to, like, read all these novels and all this literature about how you can't stand under an umbrella with a man without him thinking things about you, or you can't share a handkerchief, and like, what does it mean? And it just creates, these two things happen at the same time, which is that like, you have this boom in literacy because everyone's reading for the first time, and also boom in thinking about yourself because you have leisure time, and like, I'm just gonna think about how people can pursue me for hours and hours at a time. And this huge, huge Victorian boom of agony aunts happens around then. At the same time, there's like, obviously Victorians are afraid of talking about themselves in any way or having any physical bodily functions. So one of the questions was, with one of the historic agony aunts was, what do I do when a man talks to me? The answer of which was contemptuous silence. Contemptuous silence is the best reproof for such impertinence, which is something you can go away with tonight. And then, so after the first World War, all these women get jobs and stuff, and they like start writing to their agony aunts being like, oh, you know, I've got this job, I really love having a job, now my husband's come back from war, what do I do? And the advice was always just like, yeah, can your job, nah, no job for you,
just job. Yeah, go back to the man,
yeah, quit the goddamn job. So this thing has been happening for hundreds of years, and I scanned like so many agony aunt columns today, and out of that I made up a little game.
I'm so excited for this game.
Yeah, it's a very, very good
game. It's
very
good, and you can all play.
This is the Agony Aunt Problem Generator. Lucy Vine, I'm going to make you go first. Three numbers between 1 and 9. And I'll tell you what your Agony Aunt problem is.
7.
Yes.
4, 3.
She says 7, 4, 3.
Two fat ladies, 7, 4, 3.
You are about to have a sexually charged moment with your dead dog.
She's dead!
She's dead!
Dog, so that's
horrible. So harsh. Yeah.
Very, very sorry. So, dear Caroline, I've had a sexually charged moment with my dead dog. What next?
You know, jail. I think jail is the answer.
Yeah, jail is the next. Yeah, very. Sometimes agony aunting is very, very easy.
Yeah, it's just one word.
So, next, Amy Jones in the front row. Three numbers between 1 and 9.
She says 8, 6, and 4.
You're having an elaborate affair with your flatulent bitch sister-in-law.
I know.
So, dear Caroline, I'm having an elaborate affair with my flatulent bitch sister-in-law. Does anyone have any advice for Amy?
Keep going, it sounds hot. Yeah.
You feel what you feel, just go with it. Like,
yeah. Just like, fine. Yeah, someone's cheersing you in the back.
Bitch sister-in-law is here to play in your heart.
She's picking you up.
Hannah, I'm going to ask you for the third one. Three Ooh. Numbers between 1 and 9. Don't look at my sheet.
Okay. 9, 2, and 6.
You're having... Dear Caroline, my problem is I have a long-held grudge with my jealous husband's secretary.
Ooh,
that's more of a classic one.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Mm. What's your advice for Hannah?
Shagger first.
Yeah, all right.
What can he do? If then he goes there, you'll be like, sloppy seconds, mate. Hannah's boyfriend is in the audience tonight, yeah, so hello. Just like...
Yeah. But he doesn't have a secretary, so it's okay.
We're watching you, mate, so...
All right, Alex, I'm going to make you do the final one.
All right, go on.
Think real hard. Three numbers between 1 and 9.
Okay, 2... 2 and 6.
You're having a dilemma with your jealous, sexy dad. Which is actually incredibly on point because Alex is the only person I know who fully likes hanging out with their own father. Like, will go on holidays with their own father, so...
That's true. What's my dilemma with my jealous, sexy dad? Give me some advice.
I think if you're attracted to your own father, you're truly just attracted to your own self. So maybe whack out the rabbit and and think of England. Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
You look quite similar to him as well. So.
Pardon?
You look quite similar to him.
Look scarily similar to him, which is not cool when you're... Let's move on.
Where's the dumb bin? Should the dumb bin come
out? I think
the
dumb bin comes out after the next bit.
Oh, hold the dumb bin.
Slick, we're nearly at the end, so you can all
get drunk. That is nearly all we have time for tonight, but we do have time for a smart lesson to round things off. And this is a part of the show where traditionally we try to bring ourselves a little bit closer to the feminist nirvana, which is obviously becoming a smart woman. Of course.
Yeah, obviously.
And something all smart women have to do is stay up to date with trends. It's very important.
Yeah,
so could you all please welcome to the stage the trend reporter whose only qualification is nominative determinism, On the Vine with Lucy Vine. Woo!
You've got a microphone of your own.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Look at her hair. Remember what we said about the hair?
Bridesmaid hair all the time.
I'm so drunk.
Bridesmaid hair.
I've had one of those cocktails. They're so strong.
Yeah.
And I knew I was really drunk because when you did that bit about Art Attack guy not being Banksy, I was genuinely really upset. Everyone was laughing and I was like, oh, what?
Just crying in the front row.
Oh my God, that is the way.
I'm just opening my script because I did not get a clipboard.
Oh, take mine, because I'm drunk as well.
Okay. So Lucy comes on every so often. Once a month, kind of.
Yeah, you're like our period.
Yeah. Day three.
Oh, clipboard by Debbie McGee.
Who doesn't have the... Okay, whatever, yeah. It's fine. Thank you very much. I'm grateful.
So Lucy, what are the trends for this month, or indeed this summer, I suppose?
So I am your trends expert.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... Yeah, think of me as your Twitter hashtag... but with fewer rape threats. I mean, I said fewer, not none.
Not none, yeah.
So basically, I'm here to tell you what is the three things that are going to be really cool in the month of July, which is soon. So,
I'm
number
excited.
Three, I believe. Is it?
Yeah.
Yes, number three, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So, in at number three this month is... having a pretentious take on Love Island.
Yes. Yes.
So, is anyone here watching Love Island? Okay, the rest of you have lies, fuck you. So, it just feels like, you know, like everybody has to have some kind of pretentious take. And like, why can't we just enjoy our shitty choices?
Yeah. That's so true. I don't want to read anything about, like, problematic or feminist Love Island. I just want to watch sexy people
get
off in a darkened room.
Yeah, I just want to see the
is
the covers.
That so wrong?
The hot people having sex.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with watching
I want to
people
watch
have sex.
Legal porn. Right? That's what I want.
Yeah.
It's not that legal, is it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it legal?
Yeah, why do we have to decide if we want to hate Shag Adam because of the patriarchy or whether we want to punch Eol because of choices we made as a child? Can't we just agree that we hate them because they are garbage people?
Yeah,
fair. So that's in at number three for me.
I got really addicted to Love Island so much that I think it impacted my income 2 years ago.
But you could have done a pretentious take on it.
I could have done a pretentious Guardian. Take on it, actually, yeah.
In between waitress stories.
But I'm not smart enough, so I can't.
Oh, you are.
Nah.
I feel like we should have made, like, a pretentious take generator as well as an agony aunt problem generator.
Yeah, right.
It's like, my feminism includes bikini lines plus snugging on the first date equals Love Island take.
Yeah, but it's on every night apart from Saturday.
No, it's quite a commitment, isn't it? But
it's
I'm prepared to make that commitment. Fair. Well, I admire you, because... Yeah. I'm too busy in basements of pubs trying to make people laugh. So.
Amazing. Yeah, so then in at number two this month is having a pet with a cool name. And by that, I mean the name is literally cool.
Oh.
Because Zayn Malik and Gigi Hadid have a pet horse called Cool.
What?
It's quite hard to say as well. Called Cool.
I thought they'd split up.
Yeah, they did, and then he's just given this GQ interview saying that because they're adults, they don't have to put a label on it, which is something you do at 23, isn't it? You just kind of go, I'm just going to break up with you, but then continue to have sex with you and hate myself and cry and then have sex with you again and also cry at the same time.
By the way, I fully believe that is only Zayn Malik's horse. like Zayn Malik, the only person who has as soulful eyes as he does is a full-grown horse, and he just like presses his nose up to it and be like, you're the only one that gets it. People only react to us two beings the same way. We are immensely relaxing for other people to view. We have a quiet authority that has echoed decades.
So what are you guys going to call your couple horse is what I wanted to ask.
My couple horse?
You don't have a couple, so shut up. Neither do I. Chill out, everybody.
I think I
I'm going to buy a horse with you and I'm going to call it... You've got nicer hair than me.
I'll call my couple horse Alex and then you're involved.
Oh, Alex. Oh,
you know?
So
so when you're having sex with your horse... I'm
don't
there.
Don't worry, babe. I'm going to call my horse after you. You're not alone.
So basically... Blonde, I'll plait its hair.
Oh, thanks, mate. So I'm going to be hung like a horse in your relationship.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice. I feel involved.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm going to call my horse Frida Kahlo because it's a misappropriate feminist icon. And I'm going to paint on a unibrow every single day and call it feminism because being even vaguely associated with Frida Kahlo is now feminism.
Yes. That's what
is
we
Gavin
know.
Is Gavin going to be all right with that?
Gavin's feeling deflated right now.
Anyway,
Gavin
amazing.
Is Caroline's yeah. horse who is over there.
Excellent. So anyway, in at number one for this month is... Surprise albums.
Ooh, okay.
So because anything Beyonce does is a trend, Beyonce dropped yet another surprise album, but of course no one's listened to it yet because it's not Tidal.
Fair play.
I brought out a surprise book, but it was only a surprise because none of my friends and family cared that it was happening. Caroline, did you consider making your book a surprise or...
I did, yes, yeah. yes, but then I realised that I was incredibly insecure and needed everybody to know I was doing anything at all.
You also did a video promo for your book in the Louvre, didn't you, with Gavin?
I did,
where you were in,
yes.
like, multicoloured suits.
We're in matching suits, yes. Yeah, it was yeah. very expensive, guys.
Yeah, very expensive, but, you know, the book's doing well, so what can you do?
Amazing. Anybody yeah, else bringing out a surprise album? Or are you not allowed to tell us?
No, I tell everybody everything the second I meet them because I need approval.
At this point, though, wouldn't it be more surprising if, like, Beyonce just had a normal yes. press campaign where she's like, my album's coming out on August 15th, here's where you can buy it, it's on a CD.
Like, I would have been like, whoa, that's so original.
I've actually been thinking about bringing out a surprise album of all the times in the podcast that I've just been like, oh, Caroline, can you say that again, but slower? And I think you guys would really appreciate that, right? It's like a kind of...
Oh, I'd love that, yeah.
It wouldn't sell much, but it would be very niche.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It'd sell two copies, me and Caroline.
Just me going, no, Alex, that doesn't make sense. That's problematic.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
got me out.
And those are my trends.
Yay!
Thank you.
Stay on the stage.
Oh, okay. Stay on the stage, yes.
Are we doing one more tote bag giveaway?
I think we are, yes.
Where's the bin?
Where's
the I'll get it.
Yeah. Rosie where's the dumb gone. Bin?
Oh, don't make me climb up on a stool again.
Oh, thanks, mate, because I haven't drunk enough tonight. That's cool. Thank you.
Okay, this is the,
it's not depressing
the last
me, it's making me feel
that can
great.
Be won in the evening, so...
Can I take one?
Yeah, yeah, do.
Excited.
The final tote bag giveaway. The totes, by the way, are worth £1,000 each, so you can sell them on eBay tomorrow. I'm excited about these. Sorry, I just saw mine. Lucy, do you want to read yours out? Go first.
Oh, yours is an S. Sorry. In an ill-advised decision, I took acid at a friend's place before meeting my girlfriend later that night. I sexted her later in the night saying, I'm banana strapped and ready to go.
Full disclosure, that's my ex-boyfriend who's yeah. a good pal and he's sat right over there. Hi, Sash. So, yeah, give him a tote. Because he'll never use it and then I'll sell it again. Okay, mine is, I asked my friends, what is the Fleetwood Mac?
Is anyone owning up to that
one? Yeah, this lady!
Okay, mine one is quite good, actually. Once I went to the airport a day after my flight, I got the whole way through the airport before they caught me. My family have never let me live it down.
Oh, no!
And that's Cassie who has put their hand up over there.
She has great hair.
She does have great hair.
Woo! Yeah, give a round of applause. Get the energy up for the last tote bag of the night.
The last tote bag. Who will it be? Once, when drunk, I sat locked for an hour in my hall's bathroom thinking I couldn't get out before I remembered the door didn't have a lock. She was trapped in a... yeah, glass case promotion. Grace.
Who is that?
Oh, Grace.
Oh, it's Grace.
Grace is my publicist. She arranges events like these.
Grace is
a smart woman. Thank you, Grace. You got out eventually in order to publicise my book, so thank you very much for escaping the hall's toilet. Big round for Grace.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Slapping my thigh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try this again.
Yep. Good work.
Okay.
Yeah, good work.
So that's it. Thank you to Harry Harris for our jingles. He's not here tonight, never mind. Gavin Day for our logo and for taking photos of our double chins tonight.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
He's a man.
Thank you, Andrew from Soho Radio, for helping to record over there. I retract that if it didn't record. Thanks, Lucy Vine, for bringing your beautiful bridesmaids and putting us all to shame. Thanks to Rosie and Tottenham's Court, Waterstones Tottenham Court Road.
Thanks to Mitch behind the bar. And Ben, and Mitch,
yeah. They have loads of cool feminist events at Waterstones Tottenham Court Road. Caroline was here last night doing a cool feminist event and might be here again at some point. We don't know. So please check them out. Finally, thanks to anyone who's listening in the future, if it recorded. And most importantly, thank you to our lovely audience for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really nice.
You know, without you guys, this is just people talking to
and
nobody in a room.
And the book. Rosie's pointing to the book because Caroline, I don't know if you know, Caroline has a book
on sale in this very shop.
Yes,
and if you want to like buy it or perhaps get it signed or talk to me about Zayn Malik's horse.
Yes.
Zayn Malik or horses.
Yeah.
Either together, I don't mind. But I'm sticking around for a little while to chat to everyone and talk about my book if you want to. So please come say hi.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.